We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. We continue our discussion of matters relating to the second coming of Christ. Did you ever hear a preacher say that when Christ comes back again, he's coming back to the earth and will make his landing in the city of Jerusalem, where he will set up a kingdom of David, and reign over the earth from the city of Jerusalem for a period of 1,000 years? Did you ever hear a preacher state that when Jesus does come back, he is coming to the city of Jerusalem and all the Jews of the nations will gather in the city of Jerusalem and be saved and reign with Christ as their king for 1,000 years? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not teach that Christ will ever set foot on this sin-cursed earth again. Yes, he is coming again, but not back to the earth. Last time in our study, we talked about the covenants made with Abraham. We first talked about the land covenant found in Genesis 15, 18 through 21, and discussed that perhaps at more length than we needed to. These passages of Scripture reveal the full import of God's promise to Abraham and his seed relating to their land of habitation. And then we noted in that text that in Joshua chapter 21, that the Bible said, all came to pass. Now, if it all came to pass, it is not yet future. So then, let's notice the second covenant that God made with Abraham. This was the seed covenant, Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This covenant, without doubt, is fulfilled in Christ the Son of God. The Apostle Paul so declared in Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Shall we read it? Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Surely, friends, language could hardly be plainer. This covenant with Abraham was a spiritual one, and its blessings belonged to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. The apostle declared, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But who are they which are of faith? Those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, because of faith in Christ, both Jew and Gentile. There is no special blessing to the Jews as a nation in this seed covenant between God and Abraham. Both the Old and the New Testaments declare this to be true. But let us look now at the third covenant, the covenant of circumcision, Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 13. This covenant of circumcision was for the Jewish nation only, between God and Israel. It is stated that the covenant was an everlasting covenant. The land covenant also was said to be an everlasting covenant. But does that mean a covenant without end? If the land covenant is an everlasting covenant, and the Jews will all go back to Jerusalem and possess the land and reign with Christ in Jerusalem, then the covenant of circumcision would have to be a never-ending covenant too. This conclusion is positively untrue and denies the truth of New Testament Scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 6, that in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. How does the faith work, and what is the blessing of faith? The apostle gives us the answer in the same letter. Hear him. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. For you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What about God's promise to Abraham and the fulfillments? You can't misunderstand what the apostle said unless you let some false prophet or preacher misinform you and deceive you. Do not be misled by these future kingdom prophets who know about as much about the prophecies of the Bible as they know about the secrets of the atomic bomb. You can understand what Christ said through the Apostle Paul. He declared that those who have faith in Christ and are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You can understand that, can't you? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what the Apostle said. There is neither Jew nor Greek, he said. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He concluded. You have no difficulty in understanding that, do you? All Christians, whether Jews or Gentiles, are heirs according to the promise God made to Abraham. All become Christians in exactly the same manner. The apostle declared, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now let me ask you a question. Based on that verse and that verse alone, what happens if one is not baptized into Christ? The answer is conclusive. He does not put on Christ. Then follow, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." There is no such thing as a special hope for Israel or restoration of the Jews to Palestine for the coming of Christ and a special reign of Christ with the Jews on earth. Such dogmas of men are positive denial of the gospel of Christ and a refutation of the New Testament. As I have pointed out to you already from the Bible in our study, the Jews as a nation have been rejected by God and shall always be rejected. Both Jews and Gentiles, though, may obey the gospel of Christ and become sons of God, the seed of Abraham, and heirs of God according to the promise. But there is no special blessing to any man, Jew or otherwise, or nation on the earth, here or hereafter. God is no respecter of persons, the apostle declared, when talking about this very matter of the difference between Jews and Gentiles, Acts chapter 10. Concerning Israel as a nation, God had this to say, "Therefore, behold, even I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten." Jeremiah 28, 39, and 40. Perhaps, as we look at this, preachers, are you going to restore Israel to Jerusalem even though God said, "I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten"? Beloved, that is what God said about the future of Israel as a nation. I believe God, don't you? Now, let me read to you from the New Testament what Jesus said about this matter. "Hear, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a wine press in it, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants. He beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Matthew 21:33-34. Now, think of this for a few moments. The husbandmen are the Jews. God sent servant after servant to them for their salvation, but they refused such overtures of God's mercy, and they stoned and killed God's servants. Finally, God sent his own son, Jesus Christ. They crucified him upon the rugged tree of the cross. Now, what will be the end when the Lord of the vineyard cometh, and what will he do unto those husbandmen, is the question proposed by Jesus in this parable. Will he gather all the Jews back in Jerusalem and give them the blessing of peace and allow them to rule with him over the earth for 1,000 years? My friends, such an idea is preposterous. This is what Jesus said. They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of the season." Then our Lord concluded, "Did you ever read in the Scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made at the head of the corner'? This was from the Lord, as it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will shatter him to dust." Can you possibly conceive of men denying such plain, emphatic declarations of God and building a theory to suit their own imaginations contrary to the truth of God? It seems unbelievable. The Word of God teaches clearly and most emphatically that the only time Jews or Gentiles will ever reign with Christ is now, while Christ is King of His kingdom. Furthermore, only those who obey the gospel of our Lord now may receive the benefits of the kingdom. There will be no future reign of Christ on earth for Jews or Gentiles. When our Lord returns, this earth will not be a very comfortable place to stay. The Bible states that the earth will melt with fervent heat. This world will be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:10. We beg of you, our Jewish friends and our Gentile friends, to obey the gospel of Christ today and live a faithful, consecrated life while on this earth, so that when the Lord returns, you may meet him in the air and so ever be with him and the redeemed of all the ages in heaven through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Let me conclude today by teaching you what you need to do to become a Christian. Not some part of a denominational body, but simply a Christian. You need to believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Turn from sin. That's repentance. Godly sorrow produces that, 2 Corinthians 7:10. And then one acknowledges his faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son before others, and then is baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. Why not allow us this day to help you in your becoming simply a child of God? We'll be happy to do that. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, at 10:25 as we study again from God's Word. We also meet this evening at 6 o'clock for our study together, and then we'll meet on Wednesday evening for midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. You will always be an honored guest when worshiping with us. Bring your Bible, bring a friend. Until next week, as once again we present Words of Truth, we bid you a good day.